All right, I would invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8. And we are going to go ahead and read the text. Let's look at it together. The Bible says, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And so today, it's part two of this series, "There is No Condemnation in Christ." And the title today is about what we're going to focus on, the part of this text we're going to focus on. That is the location of no condemnation. The location of no condemnation. So last week, we kind of did an overview of these four verses, and we focused our attention on what is no condemnation. What is this pronouncement Paul is making that there is no condemnation? We concluded that it is not an attitude of tolerance for all people and all things. Paul is not announcing that, "Hey guys, God is not going to judge anybody. You can go do whatever you want, live in sin. There is no condemnation. God is just not a judgy kind of God." That's not what Paul is saying. If you read the context, if you read the rest of the book of Romans, the rest of the entire Bible, you must know that he's not saying that God is soft on sin. Rather, this is a forensic term. This is a judge and courtroom term, a judicial term. It means that God is officially declaring people not guilty of sin through the gospel of Jesus. Let me say that again. That is the best news you've heard all morning. Paul is announcing that through the gospel, God is officially giving a verdict of not guilty to sinners. It's the same idea that Paul's been teaching throughout the whole book of Romans, that we are justified by faith. Justified means we're set right with God, counted not guilty, counted righteous in Christ, so that we can experience this joy of no condemnation, peace with God forever. So today I want to draw our attention to a couple of phrases in verses 1 and 2. And those phrases are going to answer for us the question of where, not what is no condemnation, but where is this no condemnation to be found? How can we know that we are not condemned? I mean, that's good news to say that there is a possibility of no condemnation. How can we get in on it? What is the location of no condemnation? And our first thought this morning, before we dive into the text, the first thing we need to understand is that the location of no condemnation in God's sight is limited. It doesn't apply to everybody. I can't stand before you this morning and say that all people are not condemned in God's sight. This no condemnation is not automatic. It doesn't just come to you for being born. It's not universal in its application. Salvation from sin is limited as to who will receive it. Now, this is part of basic scriptural teaching. This is part of the ABCs of Christianity, but it is becoming completely unknown in our day. So we have to slow down a little bit and be a church who, you know, we don't want to always be talking about wrath, but man, without the wrath of God, without understanding that we are under His judgment, we wouldn't understand the blessings of being forgiven. And so we have to be a church that tells the whole truth. And so today, for just a couple moments, let's see what where this no condemnation is not found. Many people, even Christian churches today and teachers, are saying that everyone's going to be saved. They just assume no condemnation for everyone. But the God that they worship is a made-up God who does not judge sin. He is not the holy God of Scripture. If you worship in your mind a God who is going to sweep sin under the rug and let everybody go free, no matter what they have done, whether they're a Christian or not, then you have just made up your own God. And can you understand the danger of that? We are not in America, usually, people who make statues and bow down to them. That's more of an Eastern thing, right? And we would even say that's kind of silly to carve out this God and then pray to it. I mean, you just got through making this thing. How is it going to suddenly hear you and grant your wishes or whatever? We kind of laugh at idolatry, but we do the same thing without a physical statue to bow down to. When we depart from the God of the Bible and say, well, to me, God is like this, or my God would never send anybody to hell. Well, that's true. Your God wouldn't, because you just made Him up. The God of Scripture is the God who has created the universe and has revealed Himself to us in the Bible. That's the God we have to worship, right? So be careful, be wary, let red flags go up when you hear people talking about, well, to me, I don't care of what God is like to you. I don't even care what God is like to me. I want to know what God is like, period. The God who is real, what is He like? And Scripture shows us He's a holy God who hates sin and will judge sinners. He's pictured that through judgments over and over again in human history. And a great day of judgment is coming. So we want to rightly worship the real God. The Christian gospel is good news because we rightly stood condemned before God. We were under His holy wrath. You were, and I was. We saw this last week in Romans 5. Paul made this clear. So we're in chapter 8 today, but we're looking back to chapter 5. We saw that all people were condemned in Adam. When he sinned, the whole human race fell into condemnation. Paul uses that word condemnation or condemned twice there in Romans 5. We, therefore, from birth, exist in a state of rebellion against God. And we have no righteousness of our own. We cannot obey His law, and we do not want to obey His law. We cannot, and we will not. We choose not to. We are bent away from God and towards rebellion. Paul said way back in chapter 1, the very first thing Paul taught us about the Christian gospel in chapter 1, verse 18, is that the wrath of God is revealed against unrighteousness. So, especially in our modern context today, when this truth is not believed, when people think God is just a soft-hearted grandpa who's going to let everybody go free, it's important for us to understand the good news proclaimed here in Romans 8 of no condemnation in God's sight, that doesn't count for everybody. Many people right now stand condemned already. John, we looked at that last week, John 3:17, condemned already. Is it possible for anyone in this room today that God's verdict on you has already been pronounced of guilty? And that one day when you stand before Him, you will actually hear that pronouncement from God. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, on that day, many will stand before Me, and we did this and we did that, and I will say to them, depart from Me, you're cursed, I never knew you. Goodness, is it possible that those are the words that you will hear? If not, why not? Well, because I try to be a good person. No, we are condemned by God. Nothing we can do can get us out of that condemnation. Is it possible that you have family members, co-workers, neighbors, friends, who will one day in their ears hear God's verdict of guilty? Do you see the seriousness of this? We must know, where is this no condemnation to be found? So that we can enter into it. And so that we can help other people enter into it and enjoy this. That brings us to the main point today. This location of no condemnation is limited. It doesn't count for everyone. But then the location is given to us right here in Paul's words, right here in the text. The location is in Christ alone. Paul did not leave us to wonder about this. He's made it plain to us where we are to find this great blessing. Twice in this passage, he's told us the location of no condemnation. Look first with me at verse 1 again. The whole chapter starts out, "There is therefore," therefore means in light of all the gospel I've been teaching you so far, "there is therefore now no condemnation for who?" What does the rest of the verse say? "For those who are in Christ Jesus." Do you see it in your Bible? Do you see it in the text? This is not the preacher with my opinion telling you that Jesus is the way. This is the Christian gospel. By the way, my job as a preacher is not to give you my opinion and my, you know, some clever stories and things to entertain you. Good gracious, one of the Puritans said, "I've got to preach as a dying man to dying men." So I stand before you today as one who will one day stand before God myself. I want to know that I'm in the no condemnation. You know what I mean? And I also have a charge from God to proclaim truth. I will answer to God for how I counseled His sheep, you're His sheep, not my sheep, amen? And so I will answer to the Lord, and so I'm telling you what's in the text here. I mean, just open your Bible, Romans 8, 1. "There's therefore now no condemnation for whom? For those." There's a group of people who are going to enjoy no condemnation. He calls them those. And he says, he clarifies further, "those who are in Christ Jesus." That is what the Scriptures say. That is what the gospel is. And then in verse 2, he, in case you read too fast over verse 1 and missed where the no condemnation is, he slows down in verse 2 and he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free." Where? In Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do you see the clarity of the text this morning? That Paul doesn't want us to mistake. He doesn't want us to assume that no condemnation is for everybody. He qualifies it. He clarifies it. He points us to the location where we can get in on this no condemnation in God's sight. And it is in Christ. So, according to the Bible this morning, let me ask you, who has the joy of experiencing the not guilty verdict in God's sight? And you answer according to the text here, it is those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, I ask you, who has the Holy Spirit set free from the law of sin and death? And you must answer from verse 2, it is those who are in Christ Jesus. God has chosen to glorify His Son, Jesus, and to make Him the name that all the universe praises and adores. God has chosen to make Christ the visible King of the universe. Salvation is in Christ alone because God wills to glorify Christ alone. Let me say that again. You have people maybe at work who say, "How can you Christians say your way is the only way?" Say, your problem is not with me, but with God. The answer is that salvation is in Christ alone because God who can do anything He wants to in His universe, He has chosen to glorify Jesus Christ alone. That is why all other roads, all other paths, all other religions, all other hopes and comforts that we have will ultimately fail. Salvation is in Christ alone. Amen? That's not popular. That'll make you a few enemies on Facebook or worse, in the real world. But that is the truth. And it is given to us over and over again. I'll take you to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where Peter declared this, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Do you believe that word of Scripture? This was preached by the Apostle Peter to Jews, brothers and sisters. Listen to that for a minute. If any other road could lead to heaven besides Christ, wouldn't it be Judaism? They at least worship the same God. But Peter looks at these Jewish leaders and he wants them to know that since the coming of Jesus Christ, you must come to the Father through the name of Jesus. Wow. Jesus Himself taught this. In John 14 and 6, He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one," how many? Help me out this morning. "No one comes to the Father except through me." And maybe Islam or Buddha. No, He cut us off here. He said, "I am the way. I am the truth." Notice He didn't say, "I'm true. I generally tell the truth." "I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said that. He also said in John 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." If we're looking at this no condemnation zone, we want to get in on that because we are guilty and condemned in Adam. From birth, you and I were sinners, hating God, trying to glorify ourselves and do our own thing. God was angry with us that we have a problem. But God in the gospel is announcing this no condemnation zone. A realm that we want to enter into that. We want to be forgiven. We want to be free. We want to have peace with God, to be reconciled in our relationship to Him. How do we get into this bubble? How do we enter this place of no condemnation? Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." I mean, this is just the good old Christian gospel, is it not? Let your soul be edified this morning. Jesus Christ speaks to us again through His words. The Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning that there is a place of safety and Jesus is the door. When we repent of our sins and believe on Christ, we are entering through the door God has provided. You say, "Yeah, I'm in Christ." Are you still in your sins? Then you have not come through the door. Jesus said you can't have two masters, brothers and sisters. Right? If you say, "Well, I want Jesus and I want to go to church and I want to be called a Christian, but I want to also do what I want to do, live my own life, give myself to my sin," you may not enter into no condemnation. You've got to turn from your sins and run to God through Jesus. Maybe someone here this morning, you're wrestling with that. I want to encourage you. There is no sin on this world worthy of dying and going to hell for it. Amen? There is nothing that this world promises you that is worth missing out on no condemnation before God. Can you think of a thing in this world that's worth it? No pleasures? No riches? Nothing in this world is worth missing out on having your sins forgiven and being counted righteous in Christ. God is the treasure that puts all other so-called treasures to nothing. Amen? If you're wrestling with that, if there is a sin that's pulling on you, man, look at that through the eyes of truth this morning. Repent. Repent. Turn from your sins and come to God through the door that He's made and provided for us. When we enter in through the door, we are being born again. The Holy Spirit makes us alive. By His miraculous and powerful working, we are made new. We are transferred from the realm of condemnation in Adam into the realm of no condemnation and justification and life and peace with God and righteousness in Jesus Christ. So hallelujah this morning. Do you see the clarity here? It's not, you know, there's some hard passages in the Bible that Christians agree to disagree over. This is not one of them. It is clear that the Christian gospel tells us to enter by the door of Christ alone. Amen? Basic ABCs. But we don't like the ABCs sometimes. And so when we are converted to Christ, we are spiritually united with Him. That's why Paul says, in Christ Jesus. You've got to not just walk up beside Christ Jesus or acknowledge Christ in your mind or read some of His words, but by faith and repentance and the rebirth of the Holy Spirit, you are actually put in Christ. Paul tried to teach us about this in chapter 6. If you have your Bible open, you can turn two pages there to the left and see in chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So Paul says that when we are converted, and of course we picture this conversion of the heart by being baptized in water. The water doesn't save us, but it is the outward portrayal. It is an outward act of faith that shows to everyone that we have repented and believed. The inward is shown in that outward picture of baptism. And so Paul says when you are baptized, when you are converted to Jesus, you are put into Jesus and you experience His death to sin and His life to God. So there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He means those who have been born again, those who have been transferred into the realm of Jesus, those who have repented and believed, those who are in Christ. And by the way, before I finish on this point this morning, I will say this, that to be baptized into Jesus, the Bible teaches, means that we're baptized into His body and we become part of His church. The church is the people of no condemnation. The church is the fellowship of those who have no condemnation. And so you can't be in Christ and not be in His church. There is no salvation outside of the church. What I mean by that is not by how often you attend or how good of a member, not performance, that's not what I mean. But if you're in Christ, you're connected to His body. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And so I encourage you, when we try to drift from the church, when we try to play with our sin, we are flirting with condemnation. So I encourage you, see this morning, where is this no condemnation? It is in Christ. Finally, I want to finish our time by showing that God has pictured this 1,000 ways in the Old Testament. And I'll try to hurry, but what I'm saying, my general idea this morning, I just have one big thought for us this morning. Where is this no condemnation to be enjoyed? It is in Christ alone. God has shown that through these stories of the Old Testament where He was judging people for their sin, but He provided a place of safety for them. Can you think of any Old Testament stories like that? God was judging sinners, but He graciously provided a place of safety for them. And by faith, they had to get into that place of safety, right? They had to actually exercise faith and get into the place God provided. Dale Davis refers to these places in the Old Testament that God provided as safety zones in the midst of judgment. I like that term. I think it kind of maybe sticks in our mind. What God is saying this morning is that Christ is the safety zone from the wrath of God. Amen? On judgment day, there's one safety zone, and it is not how good you lived your life. It is Christ Jesus. And God pictured that in the Old Testament. So, what I want us to see, we're going to just quickly look at these stories. I'm not even going to read them. I want to briefly mention them to you. What I want you to see is that God consistently taught His people that He's a holy God who judges sin. And that God consistently and graciously provided a place of refuge to hide from His anger in the safety zone. We could preach a long time on that, but I will resist the temptation. The first place that I see is Noah's Ark. This is one we talk about. It's a popular story for children, but usually the main part of this story is left out. This is not a cute animal story. This is God pouring out His condemnation and wrath on the whole world. He is drowning everybody. Yes. This is the holiness of God. And it wasn't unfair to do it. We sinned. We fell into sin. And so God's heart was grieved by the sin of His creatures. You can read this in Genesis 6, verses 13 to 14 and 17 to 18. How God decided to literally rain His wrath down from the sky, drowning people as a fair judgment for sin. But the same God, listen, the same God who was judging sinners with the flood also graciously chose to save sinners in the ark. Do you see that? The same holy God who was judging sinners in the flood graciously provided a way to save some sinners through the ark. He told Noah to build an ark. And Noah, the Bible says, preached warnings of the judgment that was coming. But when the rain of wrath began to fall, only Noah and his family boarded the ark. Now, I can tell you this morning that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but I can't make you board the ark. Only by the Spirit of God working in your heart can you respond by stepping into the safety zone of Christ. Amen? You've got to board the ark, brothers and sisters, because rain is coming. The flood is coming. The judgment is coming. God made a safety zone from His judgment, and people had to believe God and trust Him and get on the boat. And then what did Noah and his family have to do once they got on the boat? In order to stay safe from the flood, they had to stay in the boat. Want to do a little swim off the edge of the boat? There's no salvation outside the safety zone. You got to stay in the boat. Now remember that. We'll come back to that. Now, to put the Noah's Ark story in Romans 8 terminology, outside the boat there was condemnation. But there was therefore now no condemnation for those who were in the ark. Do you see it? Praise God. God's people were safe in the safety zone that He provided, and they sailed right through the wrath of God. This points us to Jesus Christ. He is the location of no condemnation. Another Old Testament story is the rescue of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Genesis 19, you can read about this. When God decided to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, including sexual perversion that we see in our day, God sent angels to remove Abraham's nephew Lot from the city to a place of safety that God had provided. Now, if you read this story, Lot lingered. He wasn't in a hurry to get out. And so what did God do? The angels had to actually drag Lot by his arm and his family out. And that is the mercy of God. Amen? Has God ever drug you away from sin? He does that to us, and we thank Him for His mercy. We don't deserve that. God's wrath began to rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah, not like water in a flood, but in literal fire and brimstone, killing and burning the inhabitants of the cities. I use clear language this morning because this is serious. And so God's condemnation fell on those cities for their sins, but Lot and his family were graciously spared, except for Lot's wife, who disobeyed God and looked back on the wicked cities she loved in her heart. She didn't stay in the safety zone. She jumped off the ark right back into the flood. She looked back as she was told not to do, and she perished. The next Old Testament story that is an example of this is what our scripture reading was this morning, the Passover in Exodus 12. God judged Egypt for their sins. This is a recurring theme. Do you see this? And He rescued His people Israel from slavery to the Egyptians. He told Moses His wrath and condemnation were about to be poured out. He was going to go through the land at midnight and kill the firstborn in every household. But God graciously provided a place of safety from His wrath for His people. He told them to kill lambs instead of their firstborn children. Kill a lamb as a substitute for your child. Kill a lamb and put the blood on the outside of their doorways. And then He said the people had to do what? Gather inside their homes under the safety of the sign of the blood to be spared. A safety zone from the wrath of God hidden in your house under the blood while the wrath is falling outside your door. Now, Steve read the verse there. God told them through Moses, you have to stay in your house. You get the bright idea to go outside and check on the wrath. It's going to visit you. Do you understand how this relates to Christ? You can't play with Christ, brothers and sisters. Well, I'll go to church sometimes, but I'll live in sin. You've got to stay in the safety zone and experience the no condemnation. I don't mean you're keeping yourself saved. I mean true believers have been given a new heart to continue with Christ to the end. But a false believer is in and out. A false believer is, yeah, man, it's Jesus, and no, I'm going to do this. And no, man, I love Jesus. And then no, that is not the sign of a true believer. Be warned this morning. Get in the boat and stay in the boat. Get in the house under the blood and stay there, brothers and sisters. A warning to us. An announcement of good news. There's safety. But a warning, get in the safety that God has provided. Wow. And again, to put this in the terminology of Romans 8, outside their house there was condemnation. But there was therefore now no condemnation for those who were under the blood of the Passover lamb. Another story is the protection of Rahab in Joshua. When Joshua was leading Israel into the land of Canaan, God commanded them to destroy the people in the land for their wickedness, sexual perversion, worship of idols, child sacrifice, and more. That's why God told them to wipe out the people who lived in that land. But when Israel's spies met Rahab the prostitute, she made a confession that she believed on their God, and she knew that God was sending them to judge the land. She cried out for mercy, and she was told to gather her family into her house, which was in the wall, built into the wall of Jericho. Do you see again the recurring theme here? You got to get in the house and put the sign on the house. She had to put a scarlet red cord out her window. They said, if you will gather your family into your house, when we come to take the land, we will rescue you. But if anyone goes outside your house, his blood is on his own head. And so, she had to remain in the safety zone until the judgment had passed. When God smashed the walls of Jericho and poured out His condemnation on the people, there was condemnation, there was judgment, but there was therefore now no condemnation for those who were in Rahab's house. Do you see it this morning? I'll just give you one more. The cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Joshua 20, verse 1 through 3. We also see the picture of a safety zone in the cities of refuge that God commanded Israel to appoint. When someone accidentally killed a person, they could flee from the avenger of blood. The person they accidentally killed, their family member, was coming to take vengeance. God made a place of safety. Six cities scattered through Israel. The closest one to you, you got there quick. You run to that city, and the city could take you in. But the stipulation was you had to stay in that city for the rest of your life or until the high priest died. So as long as they stayed in the city that God had appointed for their protection, there was no condemnation for them. And we could go on and on. We could see in the Bible that God judges sinners rightly. And He pours out His wrath and His condemnation. But God is a gracious God of love, and He has chosen to provide a place of safety for sinners to hide in from the wrath. All of these Old Testament pictures point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So clearly. I mean, there's one story in the Bible, and God is screaming out 1,000 different ways throughout human history that I am going to judge sin one day. But I love you and I've given my Son. Don't argue over why there's not 1,000 ways to God. Rejoice that there is a way. There is a door. Don't philosophize about other religions. Don't, badmouth God that He's not gracious enough. We deserved only His wrath. But He has chosen to glorify His own love by making a doorway for sinners. And that doorway by which we enter into no condemnation is found only where? Where did Paul tell us? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So brothers and sisters, I have nothing to give you this morning except to set Christ before you. And if you are not a Christian, you've heard this morning. And my conscience is clear that you have heard that God, one day you will stand before the Holy God and you will give an answer for your life. And the only way to be rescued from a certain sentence of damnation that you deserve, and I do too, is to be in the safety zone that God has graciously given us in Christ Jesus. How do you get in? You must be born again. You must be born again. You were born the first time in Adam, and you share His condemnation and His death and His nature. But as you hear the gospel, I pray the Holy Spirit gives you new life. You're born again in Christ. Your responsibility is to repent and believe the gospel. Repent means you were going this way, away from God, and you're turned to the God you used to hate. The sin you used to love, you turn your back on it. And now you're walking towards the Lord by His grace. Faith means that you believe the gospel and you put your trust in it. And so, this morning, look to Christ. Come into the safety zone that God has provided. Where are you now? Are you in the boat? Are you under the house, under the blood of the Lamb, in Rahab's house? Are you in the safety zone this morning? Or are you unprotected, out, wrath is coming? Run to Christ. What about Christians? You say, I'm already in the safety zone. Stay in the safety zone. Stay in the safety zone. Maybe you're being tempted with a great sin. And the Scriptures are clear. Don't play with sin. You don't know if that sin is going to lead to more sin. You have no idea if that will be the way that you ultimately prove that you never were a real Christian at all. Don't flirt with it. Stay in the safety zone. Cling to Christ. Don't see how far you can get and still be saved. See how close you can get to the Lord. Amen? and avail yourself of the blessing of being a part of the church, the fellowship, the community of no condemnation. We are brothers and sisters because we are in Christ together in the safety zone. But when one of us starts to drift, it's our job to reach out and say, don't get out of the boat. I mean, imagine Noah, one of his sons, wants to take a little dive off the ark. Could Noah say, your choice? What would that father do? He would scream at his son, get into the boat. Brothers and sisters, stay. Walk closely with the Lord and with your brothers and sisters. Amen? I don't know what the Lord has put in your heart, but let's take a few moments. Let's bow together. Just encourage you to act on what the Lord has shown you, what He's told you in His Scriptures this morning. Look to Jesus. Rejoice that God has loved you so much that He has made a safety zone. Are you in that zone this morning? Father, we come to You now in Jesus' name, and we just ask You to let Your Word explode to life in our hearts and to bear fruit in us, O God. Lord, we are asking You in the name of Jesus Christ to save sinners this morning, Lord. We are asking You in the name of Jesus Christ to bless Your church, to bless Your people, Lord God. We thank You so much for Christ. We thank You for the blood that was shed, the safety that is ours, the no condemnation verdict pronounced over us. Father, in Jesus' name, let us remain in that place of safety. Father, I pray that You will do a great work in the hearts of Your people. I pray that You will move in us. I pray that You will humble us, Lord. I pray that You will give us joy. Father, if anyone is flirting with sin this morning, I ask You, Lord, correct them. Pull them back close, Lord. Pull them, Lord. Help us to stay, to persevere, to endure in Christ. God, for that soul who's being tempted, who's feeling weight, God, I pray that You encourage them to stay close. We thank You, God, for Your grace. Thank You that You hold us. Thank You that we are in Your arms, in Your hand. We bless You in Jesus' name.